Do you love hiking or camping? Whether it's a short walk through the woods or an overnight stay along the trail, Kel-Tec has the protection you need. For two decades, the Folds in Half Kel-Tec Sub 2000 carbine has been filling the pistol caliber carbine gap with options for several popular magazines, including Glock, Smith & Wesson, and Sig Sauer. The Kel-Tec Sub 2000 is much easier and less to take along. Sights are intuitive, the stock is adjustable, and field stripping is a breeze. Plus, the Sub 2000 can easily be disassembled for cleaning or inspection without extra tools to carry in your pack. From now until March 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased Sub 2000 from a licensed dealer. Buy a Kel-Tec Sub 2000, get $100. So if you've been waiting for the right time to buy an American original, consider this your invitation and visit KeltecWeapons.com today. That's KeltecWeapons.com to learn more about the Sub 2000 and $100 rebate program. KeltecWeapons.com.
They got tanks, we got hang gliders.
They got tanks, we got hang gliders.
Glory to the resistance fighters.
Glory to the resistance fighters.
Oh my goodness, my goodness.
Some
pro-Palestinian protesters over at George Mason U. Welcome to the Friday the 13th edition, or as some other people might say, the Global Day of Jihad edition of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. We're broadcasting The Dana Show today from McAllen, Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, Texas. Her Southern Command. She's in North Texas. I am in South Texas. And welcome to The Dana Show. And you can also join us online. And my goodness, we got this Global Day of Jihad. I know that some reports coming in up in New York, they were protecting some of the softer targets and some of the Jewish targets, temples and synagogues, airports, probably a little bit of extra security. Thank God. Thank goodness. Right now, we've made it more than halfway through the day as we broadcast this program, noontime hour on a Friday, Eastern. No reports. And I pray that there are no reports whatsoever. And no one listened to this wacko, this former terrorist, anti-Semitic chief of Hamas, which is something that I hope to put into plenty practice today, the word anti-Semitic, which is never used in reports when referring to Hamas or Hezbollah or Iran, any organization, any entity, any individual that advocates for the killing of Jews, for the destruction of Israel. I think it would be good for all press, all Americans, all writers, all news directors, all editors, to get into that habit, don't you think? Let's call a spade a spade. If they so easily, they, the leftist writers, the editors, the assignment editors, the news directors, if they, the writers of all this print now online media, they're so quick to throw that term anti-Semitic. Just try to slap that. Throw some mud at some politician, some entertainer, some commentator, some social media person. Oh, look at these anti-Semitic comments. Look at all these anti-Semitic posts. Well, the left, they really love using that to stain and soil the reputation, the good name many times of some people. I was going to say politicians, but politicians, good name. I don't know if that fits. But either way, it's so liberally used by the left, anti-Semitic. Man, you talk about the ultimate anti-Semitism. Yeah, we saw plenty of that this past weekend on Saturday. Well, Saturday in Israel. It was Friday, Saturday for us. There's no ultimate expression, no greater expression of anti-Semitism, of a Nazi point of view, than what we see expressed physically, not in words, but in actual in actions from Hamas, from Hezbollah, the rockets being fired into Israel, their charters that call for the destruction, the annihilation of Israel. And then, of course, the very sad and heartbreaking stories that we've seen the past several days, the videos, the beheading of babies, the killing of women and children, individuals left in vehicles burned alive by these, and I would call them anti-Semitic terrorist monsters, Hamas, but that would be an insult toward monsters. I would call them animals, but that'd be an insult of animals as well. Hamas, to this day, they have proven they have no right to exist, no right to continue. And anyone participating in this, in that group, should immediately do a 180 and change their ways. But we're not going to see that happen. And we have a complicit press. We have a complicit academia structure in this country that is carrying the water for Hamas. And yeah, you just heard a little bit of audio from George Mason University, these pro-Hamas college protesters. They, you know, they were chanting. If you couldn't hear, they were saying, they've got tanks. We've got hang gliders. Glory to the resistance, they say, related to the anti-Semitic terrorist actions of Hamas. I know we had Tony Blinken on the ground, Secretary of State, also Lloyd Austin, the chief over at the Pentagon, on the ground. Cut 12, Steve-O. Cut 12 comments from the Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin visiting with folks in Israel. Go ahead, Steve-O.
Terrorists like Hamas deliberately target civilians, but democracies don't. This is a time for resolve and not revenge, for purpose and not panic, and for security and not surrender.
Praying for the peace in Israel, praying for the Israeli Defense Forces, praying for the innocents as well. I am. All these innocent people that are in the line of fire, because the difference between the Israeli Defense Force is that they will rush in there to protect civilians, whereas the anti-Semitic terrorist organization Hamas and like-minded crazies who belong to a culture of death and celebrate death versus the celebration of life in the Jewish faith, the celebration of life in the Christian faith, the celebration of life from any other common sense-minded human being in this planet. Even atheists believe more in life than the culture of death defending anti-Semitic Hamas terrorists. These animals, for lack of a better word, my pardon to animals for having to use that term to describe them. They celebrate death, Hamas does. Hamas will use civilians. They will use women. They will use children as their shields to protect themselves from the bullets coming in from the Israeli Defense Force. All these reports coming in today of the million people, Gaza City, being told to evacuate. Even that, I mean, I'm sure you know, right, that through the years, as Israeli forces, they get ready to conduct a raid campaign, aerial raid campaign. They actually, if they can, when they can, they actually phone in to the building and say, you're about to be bombed in 60 seconds. You better run. I mean, who does that? Israel does. Isn't that crazy? I mean, they actually phone in an aerial raid and give them, I don't know, like a minute or two to evacuate innocents and civilians. And it's their choice to leave people in there if that's what they have, if that's who they have, these anti-Semitic terrorist Hamas individuals. And this ground campaign, I mean, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for protection of the IDF. I'm praying for protection of the innocent people on the ground. And you believe in the power of prayer? I think that should be the focus right now. Because these people that are being told to evacuate by Israel, given a 24-hour period, it's less than 24 hours now by the time you hear this on the weekend, the replay of the Dana Show on the weekend, they can't take a road down to Egypt. Egypt closing the doors. Isn't that crazy? Egypt closing the doors. Of all the numerous Islamic countries that neighbor Israel, not a single one has stepped forward to send in planes or send in trucks or accept refugees, these Palestinian refugees, to house them, to give them a corner somewhere so that they would be safe from bombing. I think it's pathetic. And not enough of that is said. Another thing that not enough is said in this conflict between the terrorist organization Hamas and Israel is the fact that Iran is the one paying the checks, the one cutting the checks, the one that's funding all of this. I know there's tacit. Every now and then you hear a little sprinkle mention of Iran. We have known for the longest time that it is Iran that funds Hamas, funds Hezbollah. We'll find, for example, back during the Iraqi conflict that the U.S. was involved in. On the ground, we had our forces. How many of our young men and women, our precious blood, was shed in Iraq? Because Iran was, you know, through their special forces, they were training the Iraqis to and infiltrating in Iraq to kill American soldiers with these improvised bombs. GW doing anything about it? George W. Bush? No. Was there proper emphasis on the role of Iran, which we knew, and the media, the leftist media, was plenty reporting plenty on? We did nothing as a nation. It took, if you will remember, it took Donald Trump, when he got the chance to call an airstrike and take out the top Iranian leader, that like the number two in the military or number two in the government. I don't know. He's definitely was a number two, if you know what I'm saying. The top general in Iran, who was that? They said was the mastermind developing the improvised explosive campaign to take out 600, 700, 800 American soldiers that were fighting and trying to defend Iraq, that were inside Iraq, to take them out with this improvised explosive. Donald Trump, when given an opportunity, he called the airstrike and took him out. Oh, my goodness, the wailing and the gnashing of teeth and all these people afraid that he was about to start World War III, Donald Trump. That's the difference between American strength and right now what is being projected every single day with this administration or lack of administration. We have no real chief executive up in Washington. All we are signaling, broadcasting the world, is nothing more than American weakness. I am convinced that Donald Trump, had he been in the White House, right, this would not have happened. That's just my opinion. It's only opinion. That's all I have. But when I see an example, as I just told you, but Donald Trump sent missiles flying. I forget what it was, but he called the attack, saying, take him out. That Iranian SOB who was a mastermind with that campaign to kill Americans while in Iraq, those 600, 700 souls, American souls taken out by this SOB, take him out. That's strength. And I believe because of that, Iran wouldn't know where the next bomb would be coming from, who would be next. Iran is a supporter of these anti-Semitic Hamas and Hezbollah organizations. They're the ones. So what is Hamas and Hezbollah? What are they selling? What website or what social media site, what marketplace do they have online selling stuff, either T-shirts or tennis shoes or toys or candy? They got no GDP, no gross domestic product. They come from likely the most impoverished area on the planet, dependent on the welfare of the international community to send them checks, and they use the majority of those checks to go buy bullets and guns and rocket launchers and grenades. That's all they do. They're just anytime you send a check to the Palestinians, you're funding terrorism. They have no gross domestic product. They're not selling and trading anything. All the money sent to these animals is being used to in their war against the Jews. And not enough emphasis has been made, in my opinion. Not enough has said, not enough international condemnation has been projected toward Iran, and that is necessary. Because under a different administration, Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump will be loudly blaming Iran for the deaths of all these innocents, for funding all this terrorism against Israel, and demanding that NATO and everybody else get in line and say the same thing, condemnation of Iran. Anyway, just my thoughts on that. Okay, we got addressing some of this. I got some conversations I want to share with you. One, later on this hour, this portion of the program, an individual has been on the front lines of fighting anti-Semitism, and I expressed to him my disappointment in the American press, the American leftist press, the apologist press, that continues to use the term militants. That is an irrelevant term. That's absolutely wrong. These are not militants. These are anti-Semitic terrorists. And that conversation coming up a little later on this hour on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Appreciate you joining us today on The Dana Show. You want to say hi online? It's at Sergio Talk on X, Twitter.
Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to $6 billion, it's important to be very clear because, unfortunately, some people are either misinformed or they're misinforming. The money in question, Iranian money, not American taxpayer dollars, is money that was allowed to accrue in a bank account from the sale of Iranian oil. What we did is we moved the money from one account in South Korea to another account in Qatar where the money could actually be used, but under the supervision of our Treasury Department, only for humanitarian purposes, and not a dollar of that money has been spent to date.
Yeah, Anthony Blinken, Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, talking about the $6 billion of, and I hate it when they overemphasize Iranian money. It's their money. It's their oil money. It's not our money. Shut up, Tony. Enough already. They gave up their right to that cash. You had a chance to seize it. There were sanctions to prevent Iran from developing a nuke. Iran acted stupidly, and you need to put more sanctions on them. They gave up their right to that cash. You seized it. It should have been U.S. money a long time ago. Anyway, talk about the $6 billion many individuals pointing to, and I would point to that money. Not obviously being tapped into to purchase grenades or guns or bullets for the anti-Semitic group Hamas, the terrorist group Hamas. But it's an accounting function. And the accounting function has already been triggered. Iran knew that they had access for food and medicine, whatever other stuff. $6 billion waiting in Qatar, which, by the way, there's plenty of reports right now saying that the Biden White House quietly agreed with Qatar to make sure that Iran doesn't access the $6 billion. Not anymore. Not after the... Yeah, there's a... Quietly, there's some reports out there moving around that the White House and Qatar have agreed to make sure that Iran doesn't access this cash. They haven't accessed it, and they cannot access it. But it's an accounting function. Iran, when they knew... Iran, when the mullahs knew that they had $6 billion for food, for medicine, for other stuff, well, it's an accounting function. Let's move $6 billion on the ledger over here, and let's move it over to the anti-Semitic group, Hamas, or terrorism. Don't you think? I do. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
NASA launching a spacecraft on a nearly six-year mission to an asteroid, mostly made of metal, 30 to 60% metal. Psyche is the name of this thing, and it's about the size of Massachusetts. If you purchase some over-the-counter meds, health products, especially meds, from Family Dollar, there's a huge recall taking place. FDA is saying that these items, they were in transport in hot trucks, super hot trucks in the middle of summer. Can you imagine how hot it was in those trucks, 150, 170 degrees inside? They should have been stored at like 70 degrees. You know, if you'd read the label on some of these over-the-counter medications, they should be stored at about 70 degrees, but no, they weren't. So check Family Dollar and the FDA for the recall. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com. /Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the Berry Mocha, Vanilla Bomb, or Espresso Salted Caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I just shared with my colleagues that I'm withdrawing my name as a candidate for the speaker designee. If you look at over the last few weeks, if you look at where our conference is, there's still work to be done. Our conference still has to come together.
Yeah, the first one is to figure out who you want as leader. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana, and broadcasting to you from what I refer to her is her Southern Command here in South Texas. The Dana Show from KURV affiliate here in South Texas, right on the border. Yeah, right here, right on the front lines of the huge Biden border mess, right here in McAllen, RGV. At Texas. Yeah, this Steve Scalise, he's taking his name out of the running. It's like the test right now for any candidate that wishes to be the next Speaker of the House, any Republican who wishes to be the next Speaker of the House, you need to prove immediately that you can herd cats, that you can bring in, what is it, like just a little bit over a handful of the ultra-conservative, and I agree with them, by the way, the mega-minded, America-first-minded conservatives, you know, cut spending. I'm okay with shut down the government for a certain amount of time. We need to rein in spending. We need less government. I'm good with all that. I'm good. The thing is, and I know Dana's been addressing this, and same thing on my show. We never had the numbers. We don't have the Senate. We definitely don't have the White House. I don't even know if Democrats have the White House. Some leftist communists have the White House because, I mean, Joe Biden ain't running things. He's just the puppet out there. He's just the meat puppet. In the U.S. House, we have, what is it, like a half dozen? Maybe eight? Intransigent conservatives. We're not going to budge. We're not going to move. And, my goodness. Now, when I saw this thing that Matt Gaetz did, and see, Kev Mack, as I lovingly refer to him, Kevin McCarthy, when he agreed with the super right of center, super conservative lawmakers that some of our neighbors sent to Washington, D.C., and thank you for sending them, because they need to make an argument on behalf of our children, our grandchildren, all this crazy spending that's taking place. You know, rein in government, that's good. The thing is, we never had the numbers. But, you know, Kev Mack agreed, okay, we'll put a poison pill in there. One lawmaker can call to remove me if you guys want, and he did. It was Matt Gaetz. And, you know, for a moment there, I saw, well, Matt Gaetz, you know, you just threw everything into chaos. Okay, fine. Let's see where this goes. And then everything blows up in Israel because of the anti-Semitic Hamas group attacking Israel. And now, you know, some of the legislation I hear that they're working on $2 billion for the Iron Dome. They need to put some more missiles in that Iron Dome to blow these Hamas missiles out of the sky as they're coming inbound. Or some of the missiles coming in from the north, from Hezbollah. As well, you kind of need to hurry up on that, muchachos. They can't even decide who's speaker. They can't even decide when they decide on the rules. Okay, let's go for Steve Scalise, and then at the time when they want to bring everything to the floor vote, so I'm not voting for Steve Scalise after all. Guys, you need to get it together. And I'm just going to throw this out there because the Democrats always do when it comes to Republicans. In rare form, the Republicans sometimes stay together. Let's say Obamacare, for example, not a single vote, things like that. Well, you know, the Democrats will say, well, they're not working on behalf of the American people. Look at, you know, how they, not a single one of them voted to protect Americans when it came to providing health care options, blah, 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 blah. Well, same thing on the Democrat side. Hakeem, not the dream, the actual nightmare, Jeffries. Hakeem the nightmare, Jeffries, telling his Democrat lawmakers, don't you dare stray from this reservation. Not a single one of you. Don't you dare vote with the Republicans, and don't you promise not to vote. See, some of this will be solved right now if a few of the purple district in some of these Democrats who know they belong to swing congressional districts, about 30 or 40 different lawmakers who belong to swing districts, the ones that are most purple-ish, maybe leaning towards red, I think some of those should consider their political skin. And forget what Hakeem the Nightmare Jeffries wants. They should say to the Republicans, you guys decide on one person, you guys get close, I'm not going to vote. Because that's all it would take. It's just going to take a few Democrats to say, we're not voting. Okay, don't worry about us. You guys can decide the new speaker on a majority. But they're not doing that. They're not thinking of America. They're not thinking about the process that needs to be restarted up in D.C. about, I don't know, $2 billion for the Iron Dome. And negotiations on government spending or cuts, you know it's not going to be cuts, but spending, where the clock is ticking. It's now down to, what, 30 days now? In less than 30 days for the next, which more than likely will be a continuing resolution on spending up in D.C.? Jim Jordan pulls, supports Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise can't herd cats in a hurry. Steve Scalise pulls. Matt Gaetz, you own it, brother. This is your mess, Vato. You own it. Congratulations, Matt. Congratulations. And you guys in GOP figured out quick. We got some work to do. You guys got some work to do. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show. We're broadcasting from South Texas. Now, back to the whole Israeli situation. And I had a chance to meet, had a conversation with the CEO of Combat Antisemitism. He's the CEO of that group. From Israel, Sasha Roitman. CEO of the Combat Antisemitism Movement. We welcome to the program Sasha Roitman, overseas in Israel. Right, yeah. Sasha?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where are you, amigo? Where are you right now as you and I speak?
So we're at home in the center of Israel.
When the attack occurred, how far away from you was that attack, Gaza?
Gaza is very far away. It's about 150 kilometers, about 50 miles, I believe, from the center of Israel. But what we have rocket attacks. That's what we have in the center of Israel. The terrorists didn't make it from the infiltration to the center. From the time of the infiltration, about 1,500 terrorists stayed in Israel. They've been all killed by the IDF forces.
Tell me about your organization, Sasha, Combat Antisemitism Movement.
Yes, yeah, so the organization is a global movement that we fight antisemitism globally. In this time of war, it's a little bit different as we are looking to really share this terrible attack against the Jewish people in Israel that caused the life of more than right now 1,200 Jews. So we share the reality
Amazing.
Of what happened in Israel. We share the information so the world can see what happened here and can support Israel in this time of challenging time. So we hope that the world sees the images, understand how hard it is for us to see such crimes after the 80 years after the Holocaust, where we promise after the Holocaust that this kind of scene will never happen again, and yet it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And for us it's very hard. My grandfather is a Holocaust survivor, and I was hoping that during his life, he's 92 years old, he will never witness something again like that. And today, seeing the same stories, and it's very hard to see that in 2023, we have a terror organization that behaves against like ISIS with a Nazi ideology, and we are trying to expose what they did, what they are planning to do, and hopefully the world will be able to listen and to understand that it's time to support Israel with combating for the rest of the world at this stage.
Calling us from central Israel, about 60 miles away from Gaza or so, he's with the Combat Antisemitism Movement, Sasha Roitman. Is our guest. You know what I find surprising, Sasha? After this bloody and cruel and merciless terrorist attack by Hamas and the hourly and constant report, the drumbeat of all these reports, you know the one word that is missing when they describe Hamas, and it varies. Sometimes they call them terrorists. Sometimes they call them militants, you know, soften up the verbiage. You know the one word that's missing? All of them are anti-Semites. They want all Jews dead. They want to throw everybody into the Mediterranean Sea. Anti-Semite, that word used in combination with Hamas, the anti-Semitic group Hamas, I think is a powerful statement, and it's a true statement, and no one says it in international and here in America, national media.
No, first of all, thank you for saying it out and clear, and we appreciate that a lot. When the support of Hamas, not only Hamas, on college campuses, they scream from the river to the sea, Palestinians will be free.
Crazy.
It means that Jews will be put to the sea. This is what it means, and this is an anti-Semitic statement. Hamas has proved that it's not just word, this is action. And they transform word into action. This is what we have seen. And if you don't believe in the word, then you have the proof that Hamas is an anti-Semitic organization that wants to destroy the Jewish people in Israel, but from across the world. And we hear the rest of the statement of Ahmed Mashal, that is the head of the Hamas, the political branch of the Hamas. We say it clearly, attack the Jews everywhere they are. Hamas is an anti-Semitic organization. Their supporters should not be allowed anywhere in the world, and definitely Hamas should be eradicated from her.
You know what else is also missing in the national and international reports? I think they need to properly emphasize Iran's role in all this. They're the sugar daddy. They're the ones funding all this terrorism, Hamas and Hezbollah. And international condemnation of Iran, it's missing right now at the UN. It's missing from the White House, for that matter, despite all bravado and the words of support from Joe Biden. Iran is complicit in this, and more noise needs to be made about that.
Yes, definitely. We'll start first by the techniques and the tactics used by Hezbollah, which is trained by Iran as well. Hamas use the same tactics and techniques that Hezbollah is using. And the fact that they use the same techniques, it means there is one address for both organizations, which is Iran. They support financially this organization, the both of them. They train them, and they make sure that they have the armament needed to attack the common enemy, which is for them Israel. So yes, Iran is behind this terror attack, is behind Hamas and the ideology of Hamas. They support them, and they make sure that they attack Israel, they push them, they promote them. And I can guarantee that they have an agreement. And the orders are coming from there. It's coming from Tehran directly, and it doesn't. It's not a decision of Hamas if to attack Israel or not. It's Tehran commanding these attacks and making sure that they are being delivered.
Yeah.
And I can tell, probably Tehran will support Hamas in some ways. We don't know what deal they made, but we know that they are behind every move of Hamas, not only in this attack, but the existence even of Hamas is by the support of Iran.
And also being investigated, one headline this week, Iran, maybe these terrorists have got some specialized training to conduct their coordinated attack, a very well-funded and coordinated attack. Sasha, where do folks find your organization online? What's your website?
Yes, it's combatantisemitism.org. We are providing their information. We are providing their news and also an opportunity to support by donating to different causes. So feel free to join us to support what we do and to be a part of our movement that needs allies. And like the American people has been very strong supporters of Israel and the Jewish people. So it's an opportunity to say thank you to all our American friends that are standing behind us. And we are the front line, and you are supporting us, and we need that. So thank you very much.
We're praying for the peace in Israel and protection over all of our family in Israel. Thank you, Sasha. Sasha Reutemann with Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. 48 minutes after the hour, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana, and I will say it until I am blue in the face in an effort to try to make up the fact that news editors and directors and writers nationwide, I mean, I will accuse them of being sympathetic when it comes to terrorist, anti-Semitic terrorists like Hamas and Hezbollah. Absolutely. If you don't write news copy properly, and you should know better, absolutely you are sympathetic toward their cause, and you're helping to carry the water for their cause. So liberally they will use the term anti-Semitic and use that and slap that on anyone else, especially in media, in politics, in entertainment. They'll throw that and ruin, destroy, cancel careers of individuals where that term properly fits Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and anyone else that wishes to destroy the Israeli state and to kill Jews. And it needs to be used immediately. And one word that needs to be erased from the lexicon, the news writing, the reporting, I mean, be truthful in your reporting. You need to remove the word militant. They stopped being militants a long time ago. These are baby butchers. These are baby killers. These are killers of families, of innocents. Yeah, they lost the right to be called militants a long time ago. And I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, until I lose my voice. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. We're reporting to you live from South Texas. My name is Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hello online on the X thing, Twitter thing, you do at Sergio Talk.
Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Very clear, diversity actually makes us stronger, both in terms of who we are socially and societally, but it also makes our economy stronger when we pay attention to these issues.
Sorry about that. I normally don't like to play this idiot on the show. Kamala Harris, down here we call it La Mala, the bad one, Kamala La Mala, here in South Texas, close to the Mexican border. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. Thank you, Dana, for the call. Yeah, Kamala, and Lord help us, Lord save us from ever having to address her as Madam President. I mean, she's just one heartbeat away, or maybe one more incoherent sentence, maybe more dementia, just a little bit away from being called president of the United States. We got 1 year and one more month, 1 year and maybe 2 months. Yeah, because it's the election is about a year away. And then we got 2 months after that, and then a new president. And Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, please, please let Donald Trump win. Please. I know I'll make some of y'all mad when I say that. But that dude, he's got to go back. He's got to go back. And I know we got a lot of people who are now, thanks to him, America first minded. He's running. He's way in the lead, just despite everybody attacking him. And it's because everybody's attacking Donald Trump. That's why I think he'll be the nominee. And I do believe that, you know, if you can keep things, everything the same and avoid another, you know, next go around a faux fake pandemic to shut everything down and go to only ballots, if we can avoid that. Yeah, I think we can get him in there. So we got another year and 2 months, and Lord save us from ever having to say President Kamala Harris. Diversity not necessarily will make us stronger as a nation. Equity, all this inclusion. I mean, she's the poster child for these failed policies. DEI has been kicked to the curb by corporate America in training. It's bogus. And even in academia, we're moving away from DEI. Because what is needed in corporate America, in executive offices, what is needed in boardrooms, what is needed in management offices, what's needed in leadership is competence and qualifications. Neither she has. I mean, she's the poster child. I mean, look what DEI and the virtual signaling from the Democrats, the Democrat Party, to select a woman. Number one is select a woman. Right. And then we need to select a woman of color. That's another thing. And there you go. You get not only the least popular vice president of all time. She's the least popular vice president of all time because she's just not that smart. She's not qualified. And Lord help us from ever having called her president of the United States. We got a year and 2 months to go before we can shift gears and go somewhere else. Hey, stick around. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. Some of the conversations coming up. I know it's a lot of heavy stuff. We got, of course, the Israeli and the anti-Semitic Hamas group targeting them. We got a ground offensive taking place, a Speaker of the House fight up in Washington, D.C. So we'll continue those conversations and try to lighten things up towards the end with a conversation with my friend Brett Baer. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
27 Americans killed is a very large number. That is larger than the number of Americans who were killed by terrorists during our withdrawal from Afghanistan, larger than the number of Americans killed at the USS Cole, larger than the number of Americans killed at Benghazi or beheaded by ISIS. And I believe it's accurate to say that after all of those events, direct U.S. military action was ordered by the Commander-in-Chief. 27 Americans killed. Why is it the posture of the Biden administration to just let Israel handle this job, in essence, instead of U.S. forces going in and getting the guys that killed our people?
Boom! Boom.
James, we will do, as Jake said, everything we can to get those American hostages home with their families.
No, you won't.
We recognize that they are not the only people being held hostage. Shut up.
But they're the only people that are your responsibility as the government, the United States government, funded by United States taxpayers, who are now under siege, are now being kidnapped by the anti-Semitic terrorist group Hamas. Yeah, you're responsible for helping them and their families. My goodness. Yeah, that's a reporter's, that's a real reporter. That's a reporter's reporter right there. I love that dude, James Rosen. 27 Americans killed, and, you know, we got a whole bunch of them that are being held hostage as well. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, that use of special forces, that's coming up later in the program. I got a retired Major General Bob Dees. I'm going to share a conversation I had with him earlier this morning. Welcome to The Dana Show, hour two of the program for a Friday the 13th edition. Ooh, he's spooky. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from The Dana Show Southern Command on the U.S.-Mexican border. Just north of the border, still on blessed soil, USA. And it's Texas, which is a double blessing. And I appreciate you tuning in. So, yeah, the Biden administration. And always just a blah, blah, blah. The same old platitudes from these bureaucrats. We're going to do everything possible. What's another one? We're not going to rest until. Shut up. That's why so many people are disenchanted. And we look at, we listen to these politicians and bureaucrats. It's nothing but lies. No sensitivity to the actual fact that they need to work this, and they need to put American boots on the ground to save these people. If they can do so in a way that will lead to, you know, successfully extracting these folks. But again, that's coming up later this hour, and on this day of this day of rage, is, you know, law enforcement all across the country and law enforcement in other parts of the world, I would imagine. This global day of jihad was called by this anti-Semitic Hamas, former Hamas leader. I think the only incident, and thank you, Steve, for sending me the write-up on this, the only incident so far is in France. Some nut job out there wanting to hurt people, but he was caught by police. And, of course, it all ended with the standard, the typical, you know, Allah Akbar, whatever that they pronounce. But no one hurt so far, and let's keep going, finish the day. But that doesn't prevent all the extra security at airports, all the extra security at temples and synagogues that they try to protect Jewish Americans and folks across the world as well. The White House saying they're going to do everything possible. Yeah, right. You know what is going to take place? I think it's Cut 13, Steve-O. What they definitely will work on is somehow putting a camera in front of Joe Biden so that, you know, he, I guess, wags the finger at Hamas and takes the time to visit with families. It's Cut 13. I think it's Biden. Go ahead, Steve.
Why do you feel so strongly about speaking to these families personally on Zoom?
Because I think they have to know that the President of the United States of America cares deeply about what's happening, deeply. We have to communicate to the world. This is critical. This is not even human behavior. It's pure barbarism. And we're going to do everything in our power to get them home if we can find them.
You know, if he does make contact with the family members of those individuals who are now in the custody of the anti-Semitic terrorist group Hamas, I want to see that video. I know they could say, well, so it's private, it's the president, it's the leader of our nation having a heart-to-heart with these family. No, I want to see. I think that if he does connect with some of these family members, man, I think that those conversations are going to go south real quick. How come you're not doing more? What are you going to do to bring my family member home? These families are hurt. They're broken right now. And, yeah, I don't think those conversations are going to go very well. How I wish that Q&A, that back and forth, would be released. It kind of reminds me of that, what was it, like a Christmas or two ago, where you remember that that chant at the NASCAR races? There was some individual who was doing a Q&A with the president and the first lady, and he said that at the end, at the end of their conversation. It's just, he's going to embarrass himself. I'm reporting to you from the front lines of the big mess, the Biden border mess here on the U.S.-Mexican border. And the latest on that, Steve was telling me that Vivek's on the border out there somewhere right now, trying to get the attention going on social media. You probably have not heard, but Governor Greg Abbott, aside from all the buses that he's been sending up northeast to New York and also west to L.A., you know, the sanctuary cities and states, New Mexico is Democrat. New Mexico is pretty much an open border, too. You'd be amazed. Mexico is not the only focus for Greg Abbott. It's New Mexico as well. I saw this write-up here in Texas this morning. Got a multi-billion dollar border security program, Operation Lone Star, has been taking place for years here in Texas. Now it's growing to roll out razor wire between portions of the state of Texas and the border with New Mexico. They're in special session right now up in Austin, our capital, talking about allocating more money for changing border law in Texas. One of the ideas is people cross the border illegally into Texas, that would be a crime, misdemeanor, and then felony, much like the federal government has. Catch them, send them back. They're trying to improvise best they can up in Austin, state capital. Some of the lawmakers are. I'm trying to improvise a solution to this because we ain't getting any solutions from Washington, D.C. And I know you've heard for plenty of days now that Border Patrol has been complaining that we've seen record numbers of illegal crossings daily, record numbers of weekly crossings, record monthly. Fiscal year broke the record from last year. We are on record to probably blow out of the water the fiscal year numbers for this coming year. We're just getting started with another fiscal year. But what is so unsettling about all this is that as we see the anti-Semitic terrorist group Hamas, we have had individuals come in from the Middle East into our country. Well, we know we've had individuals from the Middle East and areas nearby, Islamo-fascist areas that have been, you know, advocating for the destruction of Israel. As far as the numbers of individuals that have been caught and processed by Border Patrol, there's a few days back that CBP, Customs Border Protection, released some numbers. Thanks to, by the way, among many other reporters, but I think he's probably tip of the spear, Bill Malugin over at Fox News does a great job. He had a write-up over at Fox on this. 6,300, almost 6,400 nationals from Afghanistan have been processed into this country over the past 12 months, in the last fiscal year. Individuals from key places, let's say Iran, 659 individuals from Iran, 538 from Syria. Uzbekistan, a whopping 13,000, almost 13,700. Like what? Pakistan, over 1,600. Iraq, over 120, almost 140 from Yemen, and so on and so forth. Individuals that have appeared on the terror watch list because they're sympathizers or their funders, their friends, their family of known terrorists, and maybe even terrorists themselves. What was the last number we saw for the fiscal year? It was like 170 some odd. And see, what I'm relating to you, all these numbers that CBP has shared with the American public. And thanks again to Bill Malugin and Fox who are actually trying to make some noise related to all this. Those are the ones that were caught. I'm not even referring to the getaways, the gotaways. The best guesstimate from Border Patrol is take that number, multiplied by two, and that's the same number that you have of individuals that came into the country, if not multiplied by three. because Border Patrol, along with their amigos from Department of Public Safety in Texas and National Guard here in Texas, and big thank you, by the way, to other states like Florida, sending their DPS to the state of Texas to help out Texas DPS to try to radio in and call in some of the drug runners, some of the individuals that are running from Border Patrol who do not want to be caught. They don't want to be caught because they're criminals or have a criminal past. They're going to be thrown in jail or they're going to be kicked back to where they came from. Unlike most all illegal immigrants across the border are almost immediately given a chance to go stand in line to be processed for an asylum request. That is the Biden border mess. That is the open border that Joe Biden has created. And these people that haven't been caught could be twice as many, three times as many. How many of those are sympathizers, Islamo-fascist sympathizers with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with Al-Qaeda, with the Taliban? How many? We don't know. How many years have we gone by since 2001, since 9/11? How many years have gone by with all these comments under different administrations telling us about sleeper cells from Iran, sleeper cells, you know, that are Islamo-fascists, these terrorists? They're just waiting for a chance. On this day that they were given marching orders, thank God we haven't seen anything. I hope and pray that all of that has slowly withered away, that has disappeared through the years. Maybe they came here 20 years ago, 15, 10 years ago, and have blended into American society. They're happy working their jobs, having a family, and have released their grip on this hateful ideology and mindset. I can only hope, but we know they've crossed. Border Patrol caught a certain number. All you have to do is multiply by two or three. That's the other complementary number of people on the terror watch list that are now in our country. And God save us from anything bad happening. It's 18 minutes after the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. And let me share this with you real quick. This is an update from one of the communities in our country that, you know, they did the virtual signal stuff. Oh, yeah, we are open to all migrants and immigrants. We're welcoming and loving, and we're not like Donald Trump, who's, you know, Donald Trump is a xenophobe and a racist and all these words that, by the way, should be used for Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who, you know, approved 20 miles of wall in my market, about 30 miles from west of my studio right now, is going to be the 20 miles of Biden wall that will be set up here pretty soon. What were the calls? Joe Biden being a xenophobe and a racist. What are the calls? No. So in New York, in the sanctuary state, the sanctuary city that is New York, they're having a tough time up there. New York, record number of illegal immigrants, a.k.a. in this news copy, migrants, as they call them lovingly, 127,000 since everything began arriving up in New York. Thank you to Governor Greg Abbott for all the bus trips. Thank you for all the charter buses you've been sending. Greg, keep going. Keep going, Governor. Keep sending those buses up to New York because, after all, they're a sanctuary for illegal immigrants, or as they call them, migrants, right? 127,000 so far. They got 60,000 of them. Of these migrants, illegal immigrants in New York City shelters. Oh, and this weekend, about six or seven of those shelters, the New York Fire Department will need to shut down. Vacate orders on standby for this weekend. They need to shut those places down because of the stench, of the filth, of the health hazards, of the diseases that are spreading. Oh, and yes, they're also breaking a fire code up in New York. Just some of the fun times that New York is enjoying as they have to put your tax money where their mouth is and pay for all these illegal immigrants, a.k.a. asylum seekers, a.k.a. migrants. Yeah, they're illegal immigrants. That's what they are. 20 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from South Texas, her Southern Command, the studio of KURV Radio in the Rio Grande Valley.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was taking a look at some of the headlines on the television studios. I noticed Newsmax said that Jim Jordan is going to win the meeting, the conference, the get-together, the powwow they have right now, as far as deciding a new speaker. Steve was telling me that Someone from Georgia, Austin Scott, represent. He put his name in the hat. It's like, who, what? I'm sorry. And I agree, it might take the whole weekend to figure it out, but Republicans still need to figure out who the new speaker is going to be. Hey, stick around. Going to share a conversation with you with a Major General Bob Dees on the potential political landmines and the military situation Israel is facing. Putting boots on the ground and tanks and going in there, try to root out these weeds that you can't seem to kill. You can't seem to kill enough of these Islamofascists. And, of course, America's potential role in all this that's coming up in just a few minutes. All right, Steve, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Sorry, I should have reset. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. And I said, Dana sounds a little bit more manly today. Yeah, I'm filling in for Dana. Hamas militants, terrorists, they keep using the word militants. Hamas terrorists warning that they will broadcast hostage executions on the internet. Already been using Telegram to share videos, kidnappings and murders. And that's a promise today from this Islamo-fascist group, Hamas. Future trips down to see the Titanic, they're being canceled by the company whose director died in the implosion of the Titan submersible earlier this year. RMS Titanic Inc. had planned a 2024 voyage to the wreckage site, but because of the tragedy, they had to pull the plug on that. Russia's organization, Olympic organization, sports organization, being suspended by the International Olympic Committee for making captured parts of Ukraine part of their sports program. Updates in the effort to help and save Mary Lou Retton. If you hadn't heard, Mary Lou Retton, remember her? In the hospital fighting pneumonia, fighting for her life. Major business in Houston put some money down on a GoFundMe campaign to try to pay her medical bills. She has no insurance. $360,000 in counting in the effort to save Mary Lou Retton. And I see you right now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's validating to me is how do you allow 4% of the conference to do this to the entire country? Why would all the Democrats join with 8 members? What we have going around the world. You know, I'll stay to this day. What I did was 100% right, keeping government open. Can you imagine for one moment the wars that are going around the world, and if government was shut down? That if our troops were not being paid right now, we want them in the aircraft carrier strike team to be out there questioning whether they're going to be able to pay their rent? I just think the conference as a whole has to figure out their problems, solve it, and select a leader.
Yeah. Well, and that's Kev Mack, as I lovingly refer to him, Kev McCarthy. I didn't see any reports of anyone in the Republican conference suggest to bring him back. That would be easy, right? Don't you think? And, of course, Kev Mack saying all these Democrats with the small group of Republicans, 4% of the conference, decided to kick him out. Kev, if I may call you Kev, Mr. Mack, with all due respect, you agreed to give this rule to the super conservative, super duper conservatives, superhero conservatives, a chance to allow one lawmaker to take you out. And he did. And now he has to live with that. So Matt Gaetz, thank you, Matt. Thanks for this mess. And I don't know what we're going to get. You know, you could also look at it the other way. Oh, by the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. This is The Dana Show. And we're broadcasting from South Texas. You know, you could look at it the other way. You could say, these super conservative American flag waving, these patriots, they want limited government and cut spending. All that's the mega Republicans, and that's a badge of honor, by the way. All these conservative folks. You know, the reason, and I was joking with Kane and texted Dana the same thing. You know, the reason you took Kev Mack out is because, well, he compromised and he sided with all the Democrats to keep the government open and this continuing resolution thing. So you conservative, super mega conservatives, you know, proud conservatives, and I agree with pretty much everything you guys have to say. You're in bed with the Democrats, all the Democrats right now, to make sure that not a single Democrat in a purple district, vulnerable in November 24, not a single one can leave the Democrat group and just decide not to vote, so that you have the votes to decide on your speaker. Oh, and Matt Gaetz did the same thing. Don't forget, Matt Gaetz was on the other side of the aisle for hours and hours, for the longest time, arguing with Republican colleagues why Kev Mack was the devil and he had to go. He didn't say that, but you know what I mean. This is hilarious pictures. Days ago, you had Ilhan Omar. All these funny pictures. Ilhan Omar looking at Matt Gaetz. It looked like she was looking at his backside, like, you know, I wish he was my brother type of thing. You know, that's Matt Gaetz. You were on the Democrat side. And the same thing you accused Kev Mack of, negotiating with the Democrats, you were guilty of to take him out. This is the irony and stupidity of politics up in D.C. Enough with this, people. Just be done with it. By the way, I saw a Newsmax moment back that they said that, you know, the Republicans today, they're meeting, trying to figure out what to do. And there was a claim that Jim Jordan was going to win out because nobody else is out there except for no name. So there you go. Well, I wanted to mention one other thing here before I go to retired Major General Bob Dees on the pending ground assault to try to root out and kill as many Islamo-fascist, anti-Semite, Hamas terrorist in Israel. I'd mention Mary Lou Retton. And I know she's been in the news for 2-3 days. Her daughter said that Mary Lou Retton and ICU battling a pneumonia, bad case of pneumonia, battling for her life. And I guess it was her kid who set up the GoFundMe. She had no insurance. You know, the first thing I thought when I heard that Mary Lou Retton had no insurance, well, number one was, what happened to all the money that she made? The endorsements, she did lots of interviews and speaker gigs. Well, okay, let me pull that because, you know, things happen and money in, money goes out, you know, easy come, easy go. Okay, fine. But wasn't this whole Obamacare thing, wasn't it set up to a point where you get sick, you can buy insurance? You get sick, you can be insured? Like almost immediately, right? I thought that's the way Obamacare was supposed to be set up in the market. You go to the market. I know it's expensive. The monthly premium would be expensive, but you cannot be denied. You can go buy some insurance. What happened to that? Well, since it will be expensive, and there's medical bills already been racked up, and the monthly premium will be expensive, I'm sure she will need all $360,000 that have been raised so far in GoFundMe. And when I mention a businessman that had made a large donation, that businessman is a rising star. He's up there in age, but he's a regional superstar for us. You may remember back during Hurricane Katrina, it hit New Orleans. A whole bunch of people had to go to Houston to get shelter at the Astrodome. A whole bunch of people were left home. Mattress Mac and his furniture stores in Metro Houston, he's the one who opened up all the stores so people could sleep on his furniture, on the beds, all over the stores, multiple level stores, and that's Mattress Mac. Very generous individual. And Mattress Mac gave $50,000 for that fundraising effort, which, sidebar mentioned, since it's baseball playoff season, Mattress Mac has been known to bet a lot of money on the Astros and sometimes lose, sometimes win big. This go around, Mattress Mac, Jim McInvale from Gallery Furniture, he put down $2 million for the Astros to repeat, win everything again. And if the Astros win, Mattress Mac, Jim McInvale, is going to cash in $20 million on that bet. Wow. All right, 41 minutes after the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash, and let's get back to serious matters. We have a pending ground offensive. The Israelis are going to try to take out these Islamo-fascist Hamas. Here's my conversation with Major General Bob Dees. Much of the news this day is that Israel is getting ready for their ground offensive. They're lining up tanks and telling folks to evacuate the target area. Let me bring in a military expert that I know can help us understand from the U.S. perspective the risks as Israel plows forward to try to get rid of this terror group Hamas. Major General, retired Major General Bob Dees is my guest. All right, General, is this offensive? You've got a very sticky situation where civilians are involved and the terror group Hamas, they have used, and we expect them to use civilians as shields? And also, as a retired general, what are some of the potential landmines that the U.S. needs to avoid as we negotiate, try to move through this, and also supporting Israel?
You bet. Well, good to be with you, Sergio. I think the first thing is that democracies do not use human populace as shields. That's what terrorists do. That's what Hamas is doing. And so this morning, as you know, Hamas is encouraging their people to stay put, stay in place. And with the impending Israeli ground action, that puts them definitively in harm's way. The U.S., I think, needs to work this humanitarian crisis with other nations, Arab nations, particularly Egypt. Egypt is on the border of Gaza. They need to open that border, allow the refugees to flow out there. Let's establish refugee camps the way we have in Turkey, Syria, other places. With refugee flow, we need to take care of that so that Israel can conduct their ground operation with minimal civilian casualties on both sides. Israel is very concerted in their efforts to avoid civilian casualties. They use precision-guided munitions, laser designation. Many of those things prevent some of the casualties that Hamas, frankly, doesn't worry about at all.
Should the U.S. leadership, should U.S. leadership at present, unfortunately, in my opinion, what we have in D.C., should they be calling for more international? Right now there's none, but they should be calling for some international and widespread international condemnation of Iran. I mean, it's obvious that Hamas and Hezbollah, they're terrorist organizations. Their one goal is to destroy Israel, to kill Jews, period. And with no legitimate GDP where they live, their lifeline, their sugar daddy, is Iran. And we've known that for years. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, everybody keeps making excuses. The White House making excuses. Well, there's no direct evidence right now, blah, blah. Shut up. We know who's funding them. And I think the U.S. and the international community should stand up and condemn Iran. That's number one. Number two, is there a way, General, to eventually confirm if any of these weapons that are on the ground that these terrorists are using came from the leftover hardware left by Joe Biden and company in Afghanistan? That's what I want to know.
Right. Well, on the first one, Secretary of Defense Austin had his press conference in Israel this morning. He condemned Hamas strongly. I thought it was the best statement from the administration thus far. But again, he didn't use the word Iran. He didn't condemn Iran. And that's what needs to happen. We need to deter Iran. And if we don't speak out on public forum about that, they will continue to keep pressing into their export of terrorism. So, yes, we should condemn not only Hamas, as we have, but also Iran. Related to the weapons, I think that's a question for another day. It's interesting. I suspect that it's very true, but that's not a first priority at this point in time. The Israelis have a need for speed because there are potentially Israelis and Americans alive in Gaza. They're probably deep in tunnels by now, or they're trying to export them out. But nevertheless, there's a need for, there's an urgency to rescue those people.
Yes, sir.
And that's why other nations need to help get the refugees out of there, get them out of the way. Let's get on with the operation. But it will be not a sprint, but a marathon. So we're not talking days or weeks. We're talking months and even longer.
And likely heavy losses for Israeli Defense Forces. Retired Major General Bob Dees, U.S. Forces,
yes.
Special Forces, I would imagine, could provide a lot of assistance. I don't know, maybe even be on the ground. You as a retired general, U.S. general, would you recommend that Special Forces who can hunt down Hamas and help maybe save some of these hostages, that they be on the ground, that they go in there with the Israelis to extract these victims?
Yeah, I would offer, first of all, that I'm sure they are already in theater. They're coordinating closely with their Israeli counterparts that they've trained with for decades, literally. And as a result, it may be that the U.S. will assist in various ways, but the Israelis will still have the prime lead on digging that out. That's their terrain, their territory. They understand it well. They're very professional. We've trained them. They've trained us. So I'm not concerned about the special operations side of it. I'm concerned about the political leadership side of this from Washington, D.C. that needs to set the conditions so that Israel and can succeed, and it doesn't become a regional or a global conflict.
The attack by the terror group Hamas, well, let me reword this, because I've been trying to apply the word proper verbiage in describing Hamas. The anti-Semitic and terrorist group Hamas, their air, sea, and land coordinated attack on Israel, all these innocents, and killing all these innocent people. Is that level of attack sophisticated enough for them to pull off, or do you think they needed some assistance from experts in Iran to get trained and prepare something like this?
I think they had a lot of assistance, coordination of that, and the reports coming out now that they've been training this for a year and a half. So you know that they had advisors, Quds Force advisors, others that were helping them do this preparation. You know, Iran has been helping Hamas for many, many years. In 2002, I was involved in Operation Israel, where they found an Iranian ship that had weapons in it. It had these high-tech containers that would float underneath the water about 10 feet. The fishermen from Gaza would come out, net them, put them in tunnels underneath Gaza Strip, and then the next day the rockets would be headed towards Israel.
Wow.
That was 20 years ago, and that's continued to this day. No doubt in my mind about their collaboration with them on this attack.
He served our country for 31 plus years in the U.S. Army, and we said thank you to retired Major General Bob Dees. Be safe, my friend. Got about 10 minutes left in this hour of the program. Every hour of the 3 hour long Dana Show is condensed and becomes a podcast version in any and all platforms that provide podcasts. Go look for Dana, the Dana Show in podcast version. I do that every weekend. I'm watching my boys' medical equipment, doing all that, just taking care of business. I've got my headphones. I'm checking out the audio from the previous week or the previous day. So check out the Dana Show podcast at all those different platforms that are providing it. My name is Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to the Dana Show from South Texas.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And my granddaughter, who's playing college sports, I asked her about this when we had this 2 years ago, and she said, you know what? If a trans woman was competing against me in the sport, then that just means if that person's better than me, I need to work harder.
Oh, my goodness. You know, had somebody told you back in the 80s that this would be one of the defining culture war issues of the day, I know you would be shaking your head and saying, you're nuts, you're crazy, what alternative universe you come from? No, that is the United States of America today. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, this is the Dana Show. We're reporting to you from South Texas, Rio Grande Valley of Texas, still Texas, north of the border. Attention all Dana Show listeners and family and friends and anyone that you can reach in your circle of influence. You want this madness, this cultural upheaval, this lunacy, this craziness. You want it to stop. What you need to stop doing is voting for Democrats. That was the voice of Wisconsin Democrat State Representative talking about how girls getting beat in sports. They just need to work harder to catch up to, you know, the boys with thicker muscles and bone structure and just taller and have a longer reach with their arms and legs. Just, you need to work harder in order to beat them boys. That's just beyond stupid. This, I know that audio is going to qualify for the stupid audio of the day. Hey, stick around for the next hour of the program. And if your affiliate does not carry all 3 hours of the Dana Show, well, then speak with the program director so that you do and stay up to speed on breaking news of the day and great commentary. Just a lot of fun on the Dana Show. Next hour, I got our friend Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel. Yeah, it's time to sell more books. He's got a book that hopes to focus on how we can save the country, save through the Constitution, more stories related to George Washington. But I called Brett, yes, you know, sell books, but I called him because I identify with where he is in life. He's got a 16-year-old. I have a 16-year-old. I also have an 11-year-old. He's also got a younger kid. Dana's babies are slightly older than mine, but also kind of there in the same neighborhood. Brett Baer's baby, his 16-year-old, went through 4 heart surgeries. He's doing real good these days, so I get an update. And listen into that update coming up next hour of The Dana Show. All right, Steve-O, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man from Jacksonville, Florida, a U.S. Navy chief petty officer, knew how to ruin a special night for him. They had a special gathering at a DoubleTree Hotel. You know those places that sell like the gourmet cookies when you check in? Oof, man. Kyle Rogue Miser got a promotion. They celebrated, came together. Eventually, he fought with his girlfriend, punched her in the mouth. He's now cooling his heels in jail. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show coming at you from South Texas.
There are a lot of people entering our southern border right now, thousands and thousands. It's a hemispheric move north, bigger than anything we've ever seen. And the challenge for our Border Patrol, for our Customs, for DHS, for the FBI, is to try to keep up. Unfortunately, as you know, the system is broken. It's horribly backlogged. And there are a whole lot of people entering this country who we cannot identify. Mm.
It was horribly backlogged to begin with. He's talking about the asylum courts, people coming into this country hoping to receive some type of entry, have courts have sympathy on them and let them in, because as American rules state, if you're being persecuted politically, if for religious reasons, you're also under threat of death where you come from, well, you can come on in. And there's other rules as well. Let's say you were a victim of domestic violence, things like that. There's certain rules that allow you to come in. But all these illegal immigrants that are coming in, the overwhelming majority, the 2.5 million that have come in, and millions more that are on the way under Joe Biden administration, likely to be about 5 million by the time this dude is done messing up America by the end of next year. The overwhelming majority of all these illegals, they're all economic migrants looking for a better life. We're all looking for a better life. And in America, you can't achieve that even as an illegal immigrant with no work permit, because of all the abuses within industry, within businesses, people just breaking the law left and right, hiring all these illegals. Yeah, you can make a heck of a lot more money here than you do back home in places like Venezuela, where a very prosperous, once the most prosperous of all the Latin American countries, super rich in God-given minerals, with all these precious minerals and petrol, and of course, a beautiful country as well with tourism. They stupidly voted themselves in to oppression, dictatorship, economic central decision-making, you know, communism. They voted themselves in. They bought the lie of communism and socialism. And now they're, you know, Venezuela is one of the largest groups coming here. I think they've learned their lesson. That's why the Biden administration doesn't about face on them trying to let too many of them in, because they might be voting for liberty. And around here, most of the people that talk a good game when it comes to liberty, that would be Republicans. It sure as heck isn't Democrats. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show for a Friday, the 13th edition. Ooh, spooky. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and so proud that I could join you today. Thank you so much, Dana. Hug to Chris, your long-suffering husband that deserves a medal, by the way, Chris. And thanks to my brother, Sugar Kane, producer Kane. Thank you to Steve and all the gang for all the stuff that you throw at me. I hope you stick around this hour. I got Brett Baer coming up later in the hour. We're gonna talk about, you know, his new book, but also I want to check up on his kids, because he's got kids about the same age as mine, and I know one in particular has. He's been very open about this. I'm not saying anything that you shouldn't know, because he's been very open about his kiddo surviving heart issues. Okay, so that audio at the beginning was Jay Johnson. He worked for the Department of Homeland Security under President Obama, and commenting how, you know, it's worse than it's ever been before. Yeah, that's because Dinkus ruined everything. That's because Joe Biden opened up the border, and we had a huge backlog. You know, I'm trying to recall, under the Obama administration, and see, this is the time back in 2013, 2014, when we had an initial rush to the border, and all under the Obama administration. And may I remind you that all the pictures of children in cages, children stacked up in Border Patrol stations, sleeping on the floor with the Mylar blankets and getting like cheese sandwiches, because Border Patrol couldn't keep up with this Obama border mess that he had. But all those pictures that were eventually used to blame Donald Trump for him, you know, he was a xenophobe and anti-immigrant policy, all that stuff that was used, those were all pictures, pretty much all pictures on the internet that were used and used against Donald Trump. Those were all Obama administration pictures. And it was back then when I had the first time I got to meet Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck came down to our market and brought a delegation of folks. And I think Dana back then was part of his group, his media group. And that's why I got to say hi to Dana for the first time. And I think back then, I remember doing interviews with Congress people and Border Patrol, which, by the way, thank God for the Border Patrol Union, because they're an open book. If it wasn't for the Border Patrol Union, amigo, I'm convinced that half of the information that we get to dispense and chat with you and share with you on the awful situation on the U.S.-Mexican border, I think more than half of that information, we wouldn't have it, because the Border Patrol Union, they do a great job of keeping the books open and sharing from the heart how bad things are. And thank God for the Border Patrol Union. But I think back then, we were surprised to hear that there was a backlog as far as asylum cases, people crossing the border and, my word, gaming the asylum rules in this country. I've always used that word, gaming. They're gambling. They can come in here and they can stay. And under Joe Biden, everybody pretty much comes here and they all get to stay. Unless Border Patrol is lucky enough to find a blaring rap sheet that turns on all the bells and whistles and alarms and say, hey, this guy is a former felon, former rapist, or he's wanted on XYZ charges, and that individual will get sent to whichever state he's wanted in for a specific type of crime. But that happens. It's very few of the people that they process these days. Again, of the, including the gotaways, about the 3 million people that have, 3.5 million people that have crossed the border so far, 2.5 million that they've processed over at Border Patrol, all of them have pretty much had a chance to come into this country and stay and stand in line at the asylum court process. Back then, I believe the number was like 600,000. I remember my jaw hitting the floor when the first time I heard that figure. Well, yeah, we've got a backlog of about 600,000 asylum seekers in this country, all these cases that we need to hear. Today, easily over 2 million, 2.5 million, maybe more than that at the 600,000. The system is broken because, especially the past 2.5 years and change, Joe Biden, like Hillary Clinton style, taking sledgehammers to her phones and making sure to hide all the incriminating information from federal investigators, Joe Biden has taken those hammers and he has absolutely obliterated and destroyed law enforcement efforts at the American border. Joe Biden is responsible for this mess. Joe Biden is responsible for tripling, quadrupling, quintupling the number of people that are now in line in this country, crossed illegally, and are waiting for their turn at asylum court in a case that maybe they won't show up for, because we know that about 80, 90% of these people that are told to show up to an immigration court, they don't show up. And of those who show up, 80, 90%, they don't have a case. They're economic migrants. They're not political refugees. They're not religious refugees. Yes, because Joe Biden messed it up. That's why, Jay Johnson. That's why we have such a broken system. And Texas is, of course, desperately trying to address this issue. Governor Greg Abbott just sent this out a few moments back. I want to share this with you. Here in Texas, we call it Operation Lone Star. We meet again, Lone Star. Operation Lone Star. Constructing more wall to deter illegal entries into Texas. And most of that wall, some of that wall that's been classified as wall here in Texas, is nothing but layers and layers of razor wire that has been put by National Guard or DPS. The governor also, here in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, and by the way, thank you, Governor, for all those charter buses up to so-called sanctuary cities and states. Governor Abbott throwing some numbers related to Operation Lone Star. Let me see if I can condense this real quick, because I know time is clicking. So since the launch of Operation Lone Star here in Texas doing something about illegal entries because the federal government has done nothing. 476,200 illegal immigrant apprehensions by state authorities, that'd be DPS on private property. 35,100 criminal arrests, people with a rap sheet. 32,000 felony charges also reported. Fentanyl, the super deadly fentanyl. 432 million lethal doses of fentanyl have been seized by Texas authorities. That'd be DPS and, of course, National Guard out there as well. The buses that have left Texas to so-called sanctuary states that are now having to pay, with your tax dollars, by the way, having to pay for the illegal immigrants that are seeking asylum in this country. Oh, poor soul. Over 12,500 of these illegal immigrants have been sent to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., since April 2022. About 20,000 of these illegal immigrants, they call migrants, have been sent to New York City since August of 2022. 15,000 to Chicago. Oh, and I love the audio of these community meetings from Chicago and from New York. They're pushing back. And as I mentioned last hour, if you were tuning in, where you heard the audio of this Wisconsin Democrat state representative talking about transgender girls, you know, boys, biological boys, that compete against girls and beat girls. And the reasoning, the logic in this idiot's mind is, well, girls need to just work harder to try to beat the boys. Like I told you, the solution to get rid of these idiots is stop voting for them. Just like I would hope and pray that in Chicago and in New York and in the nation's capital and in Philadelphia, which, by the way, 3,200 folks have been bused from Texas to Philadelphia, home of the Phillies. 3,900 of these illegals have been sent to Denver, Colorado. Wow. About 1,000 have been sent to Los Angeles, to L.A., La La Land, Hollywood. Keep sending them, Governor. Keep sending all these illegals. And I would hope and pray that maybe it's too much to expect these folks to connect the dots, but much like getting rid of individuals who have no common sense, obviously no working gray matter between their ears, and have just all the wrong ideas when it comes to social issues, the culture war, life versus killing babies, America first ideas that must be implemented, but they don't agree with, and they would call xenophobic and racist. All these, get rid of Democrats. Stop voting for Democrats. That's an easy solution, don't you think? Speaking of Dems, let me see here. We got Hakeem, as I call him, the nightmare. Hakeem, not the dream. Hakeem Jeffries, he's the leader of the Democrats. Republicans still trying to figure out how to get a new leader. Hakeem, the nightmare, Jeffries, hypocritically telling Republicans, hey, you guys need to get your act together and elect a speaker. I think if he had the best interest of the country, I think Hakeem, the nightmare, Jeffries, I think he would release some of his purple district Democrats to just not vote. You guys vote your conscience, vote what you need to do to save your butts politically. Just don't vote for speaker. That way the Republicans have enough to elect a new leader. So anyway, Republicans behind closed doors are trying to figure out what they need to do. Energy notes that I saw and economic notes that I saw, I need to share with you today because they cleared today. Let's see. No change in consumer sentiment the past 2 months except for the two previous reporting periods. The last month, we saw a sharp decrease in consumer sentiment, according to the University of Michigan monthly reading. And energy prices are expected to climb much higher. It's the tensions in the Middle East that are leading to all the increase in gas prices, oil prices, then gas prices. But you and I have nothing to fear, right? Because in the event of a world calamity, let's say the world is lit on fire, and we have World War III, we've got enough in reserve, right? We've got how many weeks and weeks and weeks of reserve oil, reserve fuel in storage here in America, right? Oh, that's right. Joe Biden tapped into that. We barely have enough to get by about 3-4 weeks now because he did it for political reasons to try to lower fuel a few cents. Well, he created the problem of high gas prices by not tapping American fossil fuel energy that is so abundant that we almost became fossil fuel independent compared to the world under Donald Trump. But, oh well, 20 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, you want to say hi online, the email sergio@kurv.com here at the radio station. The affiliate, KURV, proud affiliate of The Dana Show. You can also say hi online on Twitter, X, @SergioTalk. Happy Friday.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And to all of you affiliates nationwide tuning in live to the Dana Show, big hug to you. Thanks for joining us today. And some of y'all carry us later in the day. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And some of y'all tune in on the weekend as well. And don't forget the podcast, the condensed version of the program at all platforms that have podcasts, they have the Dana Show. Coming up in just a few minutes, a conversation I had with our friend Brett Baer. Good show on Fox. It's the evening program on Fox. Got a new book, and I'll catch up with how his family's doing. And the big question for him, just want to tug at his heart and, you know, pull at his brain a little bit. Because we're so fragmented, we're so fractured right now, our country. I mean, you think we can survive this? You think America's going to survive another generation or two so that our kids can enjoy the same liberties and opportunities that we did growing up? I mean, I think for me, this, speaking as an 80s and early 90s kid, I mean, that's probably the best times we ever had. Things have gone so crazy since then. But anyway, that conversation coming up with our friend Brett Baer. Okay, Steve, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Up in New York City, get a rope. They're looking at doing away, leaders at their city hall looking to do away with something called right to shelter. Yeah, so the liberal policy of providing shelter to anyone, everyone who needs it in the city of New York, especially if they're illegal immigrants or aka migrants. Yeah, they got 60,000 of these folks, illegal immigrants, that they're giving shelter to, and they can't keep up. Keep busting them to New York, Governor Abbott. Keep sending them up there. Social Security benefits, 3.3% increase for anybody getting a Social Security check. This is piled on top of, what was it, like 8% increase last go around? So that's about 11% increase to try to catch up to 20%. Inflation, thanks to Biden inflation. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was hotter than expected, 3.7% year over year, unchanged from the prior month. You talk about all the spending last year to lower costs. The last couple of months, how is that lowering costs?
So, look, what we believe is that Bidenomics is an action, right? You're talking about lowering costs, right? And that's something that the president is certainly continuing to do.
Yeah, the genius at the White House press office, Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. Yeah, Bidenomics, absolutely Bidenomics is in action. Flood the market, put so much money out there, we don't know what to do with. We don't have enough goods to provide for all that money. Of course, price is going to go up for all the demand that's everywhere. And Bidenomics, when it comes to energy, and the stupid energy policies, when it comes to not accessing the God-given natural minerals, God-given minerals of fuel, petrol, and other minerals available to us, yet not accessing that to lower price of fuel that is the blood, the lifeblood of the economy on highways, on planes, on delivery trucks, on boats, all that. Yeah, Bidenomics is working. I would keep inflation up, keep going up, and now you got the world on fire. And God help us I don't even want to think of that, but, you know, if we needed the strategic petroleum reserve, as I mentioned, we don't have it anymore the way we used to, the way we needed it in the event of an emergency. And I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash, thank you for joining us on The Dana Show from her Southern Command affiliate here in South Texas. World is on fire. We got the border wide open. Lord knows how many terrorists have come across. We've had what was it, like 650, almost 700 potential terrorists, you know, people on the terrorist list that have crossed the border that we know of, well, tried to cross, and Border Patrol caught him, or other government officials caught him. Well, multiply it by two, by three, then you got, you know, 1,200, 1,800, maybe more folks on the terror watch list, potential terrorists that have come into this country. We don't know if because of the gotaways. All the calamity, all the chaos, all the mismanagement, all the incompetence. And where is Joe Biden today? Producer Freddie, my producer here, was telling me, yeah, hey, look at that. Joe Biden is in Pennsylvania trying to shove down Americans' minds and throats, the whole green policy, the green energy thing. Well, we have the energy to lower prices if we could just lower fuel all over the place. But the craziness, idiocy, lunacy continues. And speaking of the lack of executive at the executive branch right now, let me go to another comment from Karine Jean-Pierre. This genius. Yeah, it's cut seven, Steve, on Israel and the Americans that are in Israel that need to get out. You know, they shut down pretty much all the airports, all the flights out of Israel. People can't leave. They can't come home. They're little by little, they're trying to get out of there. Where's the call from the chief executive, which we have none, but where's the call from the chief to, I don't know, send Afghanistan style, send C-130s, send military aircraft to Israel? They can shoot at anything on the ground that's firing at them if it comes to that. But send our planes, our assets, to extract Americans who wish to go home. They don't even have an idea how many Americans need to come home. Here's cut seven.
Do you have an estimate on how many American citizens are trying to leave Israel right now?
I don't have an estimate. As you just heard from the Admiral, we announced the charter that the state is going to be running. Just don't have any intel. And you know, the commercial flights are still ongoing in Israel, so there are opportunities for folks to leave. I just don't have any number.
All right. Well, sounds a lot like what we went through during Afghanistan, which, by the way, another sidebar mention. All these people posting pictures of these Islamo-fascists, anti-Semites, Hamas soldiers, and their ilk holding up what seemed to be American-made rifles, American-made ammunition, and military gear. Gee, I wonder how that got from Afghanistan, you know, because we left billions of dollars of hardware there. I wonder how that got from Afghanistan, maybe through Iran, over to Hamas. I mentioned some of the economic numbers. The inflation, you know, 20% inflation past 24 months. Folks on Social Security, they will manage to get about, of the 20 clicks that have gone up for food, for fuel, for rent, for energy, for everything, 20% higher under Joe Biden, Bidenomics, as KJP was talking about. Last year, they got an 8%-ish increase. This year, 3% increase, so 11%, way short of the cumulative 20% inflation. 11%, yes, that falls way short on people on fixed incomes. Other economic notes that I wanted to mention. Orange, by the way, one thing that Democrats have prioritized, that Joe Biden did prioritize under the so-called misnomer, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, and some of the legislation that they did manage to pass with the assistance of some Republicans who betrayed their conservative ideas and stabbed us in the back. 87,000 IRS agents. The IRS said in the report today that $688 billion in taxes were due from the 2021 tax returns. And never fear, if you love big government, well, it's here, and they've got the foot soldiers for that. The IRS saying that of the almost $700 billion that they fell short in collecting for the 2021 tax returns, oh, they'll be getting theirs. They're going to be increasing. See, this is what you voted for when you voted for Democrats. That's why I keep saying, you want to remedy the country's ills, you don't necessarily need to vote for Republicans. But just stop voting for these crazy, big government social upheaval cultural revolutionaries that are Democrats. Stop. You don't have to vote Republican. Just don't vote for them. Don't give them the vote necessary to vote in all these congressional districts and these Senate races across the country. If I'm correct, there are the overwhelming majority in the Senate, if we had courageous people who would stand up at all these states, they have like 22 senators that are Democrats that are should be challenged. Courageous Americans need to stand up. Independents. Like, let's say, you know, Robert F. Kennedy saying he's left the Democrat Party. Democrat Party left him, much like saying, like Reagan. That's fine. He's going to run as an independent. You've got Joe Lieberman and Joe Manchin and another fledgling third-party effort in this country. Show up with some ideas. Show up with some solutions. Stop voting for the modern incarnation of the Democrat Party. It is killing America. Those numbers need to be dwindled up in Washington, D.C., and more than likely at your city hall and at your state government. I'm just saying, look at everything that they advocate for. 87,000 IRS agents. Yeah, you betcha. Those audits, they're going to increase exponentially. And if you are a two-income family, and you're working hard as a nurse, as a cop, and maybe you got a small business, and you're making maybe $250,000 and trying to pay all the bills and save up for your kids' college and save up for your retirement so you're not a burden to society and your kids, all those things. You're rich. You are rich. Absolutely, they're going to be auditing you. Make sure that you paid everything because they got 87,000 foot soldiers over at the IRS. My goodness. All right, before I go to Brett Baer, I got baseball on my mind. And before I came in, I was telling my brother Sugar King, our producer, I was telling him last week, man, I hope that the Phillies and the Astros are alive by the time I get to fill in for Dana on the 13th. Because I want to hear producer Steve give me all sorts of grief. All sorts of grief about the Astros and the Phillies. It's an all-Texas American League Championship Series. It's coming up Sunday night, the Texas Rangers and my Astros in Houston. And for producer Steve, his Phillies are going to play against the Diamondbacks. I'm a big fan of the Diamondbacks now. I really am. Because I hate the Dodgers. Thank you, Diamondbacks. Thank you so much, Arizona, for sweeping the Dodgers and sending them back home with a tail between their legs. So here we go. We got the American League and the National League Championship Series. Sunday, American League, and then on Monday, you got the National League. Got about 15 minutes left in the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And let me share a conversation I recently had with our friend over at Fox News, Brett Baer. The name of the book, To Rescue the Constitution, and the author from Fox News, Brett Baer. You're a fan. I'm a fan. It's a good show. From Fox News Channel, he's the anchor and director, and he's the face, the voice of Special Report weekdays. Brett, appreciate your time today. And I know we just have
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, sir. We have just a few minutes, but you know me. Every time I see you, brother, every time I see you, I think of your son, Paul. And that's why I know we got to sell books. We got to sell books, but I want to get an update on Paul. How old is he now?
Like, yeah.
15, 16? How old
great.
Is he?
Great. Thank you for asking. He's 16, and he is 6'4", Sergio. I am really happy that he looks like me. Otherwise, I would say, who is this child? But he is he's doing fantastic. He plays on the varsity golf team, and he's thriving. So I really appreciate you asking every time, and I love coming back to your show.
Yeah, I ask Brett. You guys know Brett's been very public, he and his wife, his family, of Paul's heart issues. As a baby, he survived like four surgeries, right? At least four, right?
Yeah, four open heart surgeries and 10 angioplasties.
Yeah, he's doing awesome. Terrific. All right, so in the deep dive that you did in order to get some more information on George Washington, what is it? What was new that you learned in all the research?
Yeah. Listen, it's called To Rescue the Constitution, George Washington and the Fragile American Experiment. And Sergio, you remember these books. This is the fifth one, and I take kind of a soda straw look at a moment in history and then bounce back and show how a leader gets there. And this look is after the Revolutionary War, beat the British. However, the country's kind of falling apart. They have the Articles of Confederation that are supposed to link everybody together, but it's not working. And everybody's fighting each other, and they're fighting tax collectors. And some people are saying, let's go back to British rule. And at that moment, in the summer of 1787, is when the Constitutional Convention starts in Philadelphia, and they call it up, and they need somebody to run it, and they turn to George Washington, who was the steady, thoughtful presence, and he was really the reliable voice that tries to find common ground and eventually gets these dissenting voices to gather around this document. But honestly, is still the best legal document in the world, providing liberty. And this is a narrative that puts you in the room, and hopefully it'll show shed some light back on how we were founded.
Yeah, we are so far removed from just the basic truths and ideas that were very well researched by our founding fathers. I could argue, as many other people, we're a shadow of what we were meant to be. We got all these federal agencies and departments passing policy, which in essence is law, all these edicts, all that unconstitutional stuff taking place. The power of the Supreme Court over pretty much everything, which was kind of flipped early on, I think early 1800s and early decisions. I don't know, man. We've been through hard times before. Obviously, the bloodshed and division, Civil War, the Great Depression, all the stress, world wars, communism, 9/11. I think I've asked you this before, but I wanted to hear from you again because we see the nation so divided right now. From the effort of herding cats up in D.C. in the U.S. House to try to get a new speaker, to overall the cultural and moral, what else, political, military, economic stress that we're under, for our kids, for your boys, for my boys, I got a 16-year-old and an 11-year-old, do you think our republic survives to the end of this century, or is there a new world order? I know I'm asking some pretty big stuff right now.
Yeah, Sergio, it is a big question, but I actually think that this book helps get your head around that. I know we're super divided. We're super partisan. There are really, you talk about a lot of issues there that people are really concerned about. And there's a feeling of decline and almost dread at sometimes. But researching and writing this book, I'll be honest, it really did give me a sense of hope. Not because, the birth of our nation went so smoothly, but because it didn't go smoothly. And it was chaotic and driven by dissent. And the whole thing almost collapsed numerous times. And that's what you see in this book. And the lesson is, we shouldn't fear dissent. It's a valued principle. An open exchange of ideas and dissent is baked in our cake. And so is union. And our job is to kind of mesh dissent and union. And that's what Washington taught us. Yeah. And hopefully, I have hope, but it's a dark time. It can be.
Well, we need solid leadership, too. We need a George Washington of these days. Thank you, Brett. Best to you, your wife, and your babies, your big boys. Thank you, Brett.
All right. Thank you, Sergio.
10 minutes to the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Appreciate you tuning in today. I'm coming at you from South Texas. You want to say hi online, use Twitter, X. It's at Sergio Talk.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and Dana, thank you. Big hug to you and kiss, my friend, you and Chris, and producer Kane, and Steve, everybody else. Thanks for all the information, allowing me a chance to spend time with a conservative-minded family across the nation, and some who are not so conservative-minded, like Ford Motor Company's in the news today. Ford saying to the United Auto Workers, hey, gang, that 40% pay raise that you guys are demanding, you're striking and hurting the bottom line. They didn't say this, but I'm saying it. Because in other reports, Ford, along with GM, along with Stellantis, Chrysler, Jeep, they're losing billions of dollars. It's hurting. Financially, it's hurting. The unions, in essence, they would say, I would say they're biting the hand that feeds them, but they would say, well, we have to bite the hand to get their attention because we need more. Ford says, of the 40% pay increase that you are demanding, we can only do 23%. Really, we should only do 23%. Please take it. I would say, gang, please take it. Because the strike is not only hurting your bottom line, your pocketbooks. You guys are having to ask for food and diapers now because the strike is going to continue going and likely more workers to be called away. don't eat the golden goose. Ford saying that 23% is all they can do because anything more than that would hurt Ford's ability to invest. You invest, more brick and mortar, more assembly lines, more purchases, more vehicle lines, that's more jobs. It's going to hurt business. It's hurting business already. Look, 23% is the 20% inflation rate under Joe Biden. You know, Bidenomics, 20% under Joe Biden. That's 20. You make all that up, plus you get a 3% pay raise almost immediately. I think it's a good deal. It saddens me how folks who belong to unions, and I'm so sad for states that force union membership upon workers. It's a slavery. It's a self-imposed slavery and a diminishing of potential where many of these individuals, some of y'all should be courageous enough to go back to junior college, learn how to cut steel or get your CDL. You know, CDL drivers, commercial driver's license holders. Some of these people are making six-figure salaries because we can't get enough drivers in this country right now. Anyway, just my thought of that. The stupid audio of the day, Steve. What'd you find for today?
Oh, we're going back to Kamala. We're going back to old reliable here.
Don't hear no. I eat no for breakfast. Don't hear no. Always believe in what can be, unburdened by what has been.
She's using that line again? Man, make something up, something new. Ladies and gentlemen, your borders are.